there's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Did he hit Austin? My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
One, two, three, four.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is I, Phil Pritchett, on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio to all corners of our little bluish-green planet that we call our Earth. Radiating information and enlightenment throughout the known world. Folks, Phil here. How's everybody doing? January upon us. February coming on. You can hear it coming like a wolf out on the ridge, howling into the cold night. Yes, indeed, man. This has been a great winter, hadn't it? Oh, a little snow, a little ice. Then it gets warm for a few days. I can get out and throw the ball with the kids, play some golf. Then it's just, man, then here comes the cold again. Arctic blast, polar vortex, bring it on, I say. Boy, I cried not a tear for the folks up there in Steamboat. Oh, I had to deal. I knew some folks went up there. Many came back with pneumonia or the flu. freezing up there. The big ski trip, of course, Steamboat in January. I've never been. Can you believe it, Phil? What do you know? If anyone ever thinks I'm part of the scene, and apparently I am not. I'd love to go, but I've never been invited. Let the record show, I have yet to be invited. You know, I'm going to hold out till I'm like 65 years old. Then, if I've done my job well enough, maybe they'll do a Phil Pritchett retrospective up there. They'll do it. It's Phil Pritchett week up there, and every band we can have a, you know, contest that I can judge, get a little award or something like that. So that's what I'm holding out for. I don't want to go up there and do some song swap deal and freeze and I don't know. That's a long way to go, man. So I heard it was a great time, though. Great shows, all the bands playing and everything. But freaking cold, man, up there in the vortex, polar vortex. What do you think about that intro music there? Did you hear what was going on there? That is the new band, man. Oh, yes, you heard everybody talking about it. The British are coming. Our British tribute band. So fun, so fantastic. We've just been doing that quite a bit here in Dallas, once a month at the Mansion, to go along with our once a month Phil Pritchett and the full band gig. Oh, man, but you need to make it out to the Mansion in Dallas, Texas. It's a five-star resort hotel. Fantastic. But you know what? You can just park your car and come in. It's free show. Go into the bar there. Yes, the drinks are expensive, but my goodness, it's worth it. You'll look around, man. Troy Aikman will be in there. Charles Barkley will be in there. Huey Lewis will be in there. Heads of state, princes and diplomats worldwide. High-dollar hookers. Everything like that. I'm just kidding. Though I've had some suspicions at times. But just a tremendous scene there, and a great crowd, a well-behaved crowd, fun crowd. It gets rowdy in there. So we've been doing our British Invasion. But yeah, that track leading in there is the band and I over at the new studio there in Uptown at Richard and JW's duplex. But we got one whole side of the duplex now turned into the new Trinidad World Recording Studios. Fantastic. Got a fully soundproof sound booth, drum room, huge, gigantic mixing screen, software. Of course, guitars over there. We got JW and Richard's father, the great J.C. Marshall. We got his, I think it's a 64 Strat in there. We got the 59 or whatever it is, 58 Gibson Hummingbird acoustic. The greatest acoustic guitar I have ever played. I say it all the time. Anywhere. And that's saying a lot, man. I've played a lot of freaking guitars in my time. Well, so there we are at the studio, man. Little lead-in track. That's the Zombies, man. Remember that tune? Oh, I mean, you don't remember it. Like, I don't remember it. Way before my time, but, man, we're bringing that time back. And there it is. Well, 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 I've got some movie news. Y'all have heard me for the last 2 years going, I'm working on this movie, man. I'm working on this movie. We've had Luke Coffey on doing his documentary Old Man Football. We've had Chance Ryan Brentham on doing his film about Clint Rippey, the mysterious drummer. You've probably gone online and seen the trailers for these, Old Man Football, and also Who is Clint Rippey? Two films that I was very heavily involved in on a music side of things. And appear in both of them in various ways. So, anyway, man, over the past couple months, man, I've gone to both films' premieres. I hope some of y'all were there. They were both big crowds, well attended. We did Who is Clint Rippey premiere here in Fort Worth at the Casa Manana Theater, the theater in the round up there by Will Rogers Coliseum. Fantastic venue. Chance, the filmmaker, and who has played drums with Phil Pritchett and the full band from time to time. You know, Chance with the long beard, resembling Clint Rippey in some way. But Chance, a great friend, just an even better guy and an even better drummer. Finally, man, these movies are so hard to make. It's overwhelming. But we went to the Clint Rippey debut, which was fantastic. They had live music in the lobby. We all went inside the theater. And, man, it was a thrill. Richard and JW from the full band came. Their dad, JC, was in town. My wife came with me. I mean, it was thrilling to sit in a darkened theater, man, still, and see on this the big screen, the film that we've been working on that I've watched so many times, adding music to and hear those tunes kick on through the system as something's happening on screen. And it was just thrilling, man. I was very, very thrilled with it. And the film came out great. It looks fantastic. Chance is a photographer also by trade, one of his many talents. And it's a beautifully shot movie. I think that slipped past me the first few times I saw the movie, but there's really some stunning scenes of the coast of California and New York with the sun setting and Clint, you know, smoking his cigar, looking at the skyline, and it's very, very beautifully shot. And Chance has a great eye for that. And then it was hilarious. All the interviews with the musicians, Henry Rollins and Ben Folds, and myself and Pat Green and Jack Ingram and a bunch of other people in there talking about the greatness, attesting to the greatness and the legend of Clint Rippey, the world's most mysterious drummer. So check it out online, whoisclintrippey.com. There's two or three or four different segments and trailers. I did a ton of music for it, everything from songs to a lot of background, little bits. A lot of atmospheric guitar and kind of stuff like that. A lot of it with me and Chance sitting in the editing room and just recording right into a Final Cut. Just, you know, as a scene's playing with, you know, there's a scene where Clint's in a swimming pool and we just needed some sort of real spacey, airy kind of guitar. And so I was just adding that on. We were just tracking it right in there, right underneath the video. And saved it and said, all right, that's cool, moved on to the next thing. So, it's the way I like to work, man. Fast and on the spot and in the red, permanent, nothing premeditated. So it came out great. Thank you, Chance. We're going to get Chance back on the podcast very soon and look forward to that and talk to him more about the film and what they're doing with it. Who is Clint Rippey? Check it out online. Hilarious stuff. Still hitting the morning coffee here, folks. Forgive me. It's cold out there, man. Cold out there this morning. Well, what else, Phil? Well, I'll tell you what. We got our other film, Old Man Football. This thing's been going on forever. It can be somewhat maddening, these films, because they take forever to make, man. So any of y'all aspiring filmmakers out there, just know what you're in for, dude. Because it is a long, exhaustive journey. What film was it in the Oscar or in the Golden Globes a little while back? I think it was an animated movie, Frozen. They won for best animated feature or something. And the lady gets up there and says, "Man, this has been a great 9-year journey to get this film." I'm just like, I mean, I look at my wife, I'm like, 9 years? We were both just like, what? And then, but then you start walking backwards from where they are right now, getting an award for the film they made. Yay! But man, it has been. You're like, well, they, you know, the film was released almost a year ago. It was probably completed a year before that. It was probably, finished being shot and filmed a year before that. So that's 3 years. So yeah, you go all the way back to the conception date where you're sketching it out and putting stuff on the wall. Hey, here's what we got, and getting the story together. It's 9 years, man. 8 years, something like that, for some of these movies. And Old Man Football was no different, although not 9 years, but I think maybe 4 or so. My good friend from high school, Jay Ellis, contacted me and said, "Hey, we've shot 500 hours of footage on this documentary about these 40-year-old guys who go back to their high school in Corpus Christi, the Great Carroll High School, to play an alumni football game against the young alumni, the guys who are maybe in their early 20s, mid-20s, in a full pad, full contact, full timed game." And he said, "Man, we wanted to know if you could do Corpus Christi Bay by Robert Earl Keane, and we'd work it into the film somewhere." And I said, "Sure." So they'd heard me do the song live before. So I did it, man. I just knocked out a version there at the studio, just a guitar vocal thing, and shot him an MP3. Said, "Here you go. You know, see how it works." And they put it under some footage and said, "Oh, man, it's great. It's great. Thank you very much." Well, next thing you know, wouldn't you know, I get another email. "Hey, man, you got something in the middle here. We're trying to get – we got this one scene where they're out fishing. You know, we need something in the background, something like that." And, you know, there wasn't a budget for them. It was a low-budget movie. There wasn't a budget to just go out and buy music and stock footage, stock tracks and stuff like that for every little spot in the film. And then they had this other part, you know, that was, "Man, we need something here and something here and something while they're practicing and something while we're driving down the streets of Corpus. We need something here." So, of course, me as some guy who's just got music everywhere from all different kinds of stuff, I start emailing them MP3s. "Hey, try this. Maybe you can use this for something. Here's an acoustic deal. Here's a beat-driven thing." Some of it just instrumentals. A lot of it instrumentals. And so they start using it. They start putting this stuff in the movie. And I start seeing footage from the film. And all my music's under there. And it starts to come together. So it was a thrilling ride, man. And I got to be very good friends with Luke Coffey, who was the producer and director of the film, and he and I worked on a lot of other projects as well. So last night, the debut of the premiere of Old Man Football, man, is going to happen. It's going to happen in Oak Cliff at the Texas Theater. You know the Texas Theater. Why do I know that, man? That's where they arrested none other than Lee Harvey Oswald. Remember him? Remember that guy? Yes, that's where Oswald hid out, man, after shooting John F. Kennedy. He makes it out to Oak Cliff, and he just very benignly goes in to watch a movie and is sitting in his seat there. I thought that I had heard they had the seat marked where Oswald was sitting. But I found out the other night that that is not true because I was looking at all the seats. And they said, "Well, we don't know what actual seat he was in, but he was kind of back here, you know, in this region, and we know where he was arrested." And boy, that had to have been a heavy scene going down. Can you imagine Oswald sitting by himself in there catching a double feature back in the day? The cops just rolling in. "Come with us, please, sir." "Hey, what's this all about? I don't understand." "Please come with us, Mr. Oswald." "Are you Lee Harvey Oswald?" "Yes, I've been here watching. What's going on? I don't understand." That's where it all went down, man. Wow. So a lot of history there. This guy, Eric, I think I met, is the owner of it. He's sort of a Dallas businessman who has bought the theater or leased it or something. Luke introduced me to him yesterday. And has done a great job with it, man. There's a lot of old vinyl in there and old pictures, and they do all kinds of independent films. And it's a huge – man, you forget how big movie theaters used to be. You know, we go to these places where you got to eat pizza and drink beer during your movie. Yeah, it just – I mean, it's fun and everything, but it kind of sucks, man. I grew up going up to, like, North Park or the Inwood Theater, just gigantic theaters, and watching Star Wars or E.T. or Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was just – all-encompassing, man. You were watching it with, like, you know, 600, 500, 800 other people. It was added a lot to the experience. So this is an old theater like that with this film. Old Man Football, man. There's our movie again. So I got up on the stage in the theater, and they had a pretty good little sound system in there in the house. So I played four or five songs from the movie, just acoustic and vocal, as people were coming in and finding their seats. Then Jay and Luke got up, said a few words, and we rolled the film. My parents made it down there. Man, it was thrilling again, just sitting out there in the dark, watching a movie and hearing all the little, you know, all the music kicking on. But man, Old Man Football, I have seen 1,000 times, man. I almost didn't know if I could sit through it again. Not because it's not great. It's just like, man, I know every minute of this because you know, I just had to watch so much of it, placing music with it, and okay, what goes here, and but it all came together great, man. It was just a wonderful evening. God, they had like 400, 500 people, something like that, show up for the viewing, and it's a real testament to both Luke Coffey, who did Old Man Football, and Chance, the Clint Rippey producer, man, to get their film to the screen. I can't tell. Everyone's like, well, man, wasn't it fun to do a movie, Phil? And I had to tell some people out in the lobby at these deals. I said, you know, I've done movies. I've done music for all kinds of movies. I'm like, oh, really? Which other ones? I'm like, well, most of them, there's an idea, and some scenes have been shot, and they got this script, and I give them some songs, and it gets edited, and I see some stuff on a laptop. I'm like, yeah, man, it looks cool. And it just never gets past there, man. It is just such a cumbersome process, making film and putting it together. It all has to work. And so the sad reality is a lot of movies never get to be shown one time on a big screen. Most of them die on a laptop somewhere. So that's where most of my movie work has been done. So I feel fortunate that these last couple ones have made it to premieres, and both have a bright future, I think, going to festivals and getting on to iTunes and Netflix and maybe a theater run or a DVD and all this other kind of thing. So anyway, it's thrilling to be a part of it. And stay tuned for those credits at the end of these shows, folks, when you get to see the movie. Because, man, when the music stuff comes up, there's just like 30 songs by just Phil Pritchett underneath it. So just bask in that glory with me, why don't you? As the credits roll, Phil Pritchett did most of the music on it. So very, very thrilling, man. But the hardest thing about movies, as opposed to music, is you can't get away with anything in movies. You can't get away with anything. It is a straight story. And everything has to work together and make sense. From the music underneath the picture, to the editing, to the storyline, to things being clear. I mean, let's face it, in music, you can play a 15-minute guitar solo and forget to sing the last verse, but just end the song, and the crowd will say, yay, and you can, if someone says, hey, man, I thought there was one more verse of that song, if you can go, oh, well, you know, we shortened it up this time, or whatever, or you can record, and, you know, have a drum beat, and just some atmospheric guitar, and just sing something in the background without even having any lyrics, just kind of make it open and cool sounding, and everybody go, yeah, man, that's kind of cool. Like, it doesn't have to be very literal. Music can kind of float in space, let people make up their own ideas about it, draw their own conclusions. And, you know, you can make a similar argument about film, but, man, only to a certain point. Because, man, there are things in movies, you're not just hearing something, you're looking at something. And if the audio is off, the guy moves his mouth and nothing comes out, that's a big problem. If the music is just too loud and you can't hear the dialogue, that's a huge problem. If the music is stupid, it's just it's a real upbeat music for kind of a weird scene, or the music doesn't end with this final little shot of the lights going out at the football field, just da-da-da-da-da. You know, you just got to work backwards from so many points. And it's frustrating because I started working on these movies originally to say, well, hey, man, I'll give them some music. They'll put it in there and I can tell people I was in a movie. Great, yay. But what I didn't count on was just the effort involved. I'd send them a piece of music. They'd send me a scene like 3 minutes and 8 seconds long, and I'd compose something and edit it down so it ended with a bang and started with a nice little flourish or something. And then a month later, I'd get an email going, hey, man, you need to redo this song. I'm like, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, we ended up taking out a little bit of music. So instead of 3 minutes and 8 seconds, it's 2 minutes and 23 seconds. I'm just like, God. They go, but we like the song, though. We like the song. And I'm like, well, can you just splice the song together? And then, well, we tried that. It kind of hiccups, you know. Can you? So I would, A, go back and see if I could edit it together to 230 or 223 or whatever it was, or have to start over and just be like, God dang it, you know. So it is tiresome, but you can't let it go. You can't just kind of shrug and go, oh, well, you know, we'll just say we meant to do it like that. No, that looks stupid. It looks terrible. So you cannot get away with anything in film. So that's what makes it, these movies take like Frozen 9 years or Old Man Football 4 years. I mean, you're fitting in a lot of stuff. And in the case of Clint's movie and Luke's movie, you maybe edit the first hour of the movie and it looks really good. Okay, cool, man. Really got something. Great, great. And then at the end of the movie, you say, hey, this is great. We're going to have this at the end of the movie. And let's tie it together. Uh-oh. Now you look back at that first hour you've already edited and done all the music for and gone, well, okay, that kind of changes it because we're going to have to take out that guy's scene 4 minutes into the movie because we're not going to use the thing at the end like we thought we were. Okay, well, that's when the phone call goes to Phil and goes to the editor and goes to everybody, and you start it all over again. It's like taking that little brick out of the wall, and just it starts to crumble a little bit. So Phil was there, man, with his brick and mortar just ready to patch the holes. So that's kind of filmmaking, man, and doing music for film. And but it's a thrilling ride, man, and I am anxious to do more. So any of you filmmakers out there, know people who are filmmakers, like, man, who would be up for, you know, working on this movie, you know, and making some music for it? Shoot them my name, man, Phil at philpritchard.com, 817-733-5256. Phil is in the movie business, man. It's official, don't you know? We've had premieres for crying out loud. Out there in the dark, watching it all happen. So thrilling, man. My thanks to Clint, Chance, I mean, and Luke Coffey. Jay Ellis and all the filmmakers out there who've used my stuff, and I've been heavily involved with their projects. Just thrilling. So look for them out there, Old Man Football and Who is Clint Rippey. Go watch the trailers online, and it'll be coming at least to iTunes and Netflix and things like that in the very near future, I would imagine. So look forward to that. Hey, we got a big surprise coming on the podcast coming up here, folks. Our old friend Max Stalling. Huh? Max Stalling. Hey, when have we had a guest on the podcast? It's been forever. I'm sitting here talking to myself, talking to you, telling you what's going on. Now that we got the new studio in Dallas, it's easier to get some of those Dallas guys. Max and some guys like that I've known are there for a lot of years are going to be coming on the podcast. A new chapter. A new era has begun. This will be the first podcast with Max that has been recorded and taken place over at the new studio in Dallas. So we'll see how that sounds like sitting in that big room. Probably a little verb, little room, little ambience on the mics. Hey, that's all right. So Max Stalling will be joining us on the next podcast. So look forward to that, folks. In the meantime, book the band. Phil Pritchett and the Full Band or the British are coming. It's all me, man. All the same number. 817-733-5256 or email me phil@philpritchett.com. Say, Phil, here's the party, here's the event, here's the festival. You know what some folks have done? You book Phil for a festival. We do one set as the British, one set as Phil Pritchett and the Full Band. It's almost two for the price of one, man. We can make you a deal. It works great. We can backline it, of course, with all the same gear. Fantastic, man. So many ways to do it. And also, of course, man, come to the studio. Come to the new studio in Uptown over there in Dallas or, of course, man, Erie Street right here in Fort Worth, the big room over here that we've had for so many years. Still doing a lot of work over there as well. So just finished up Troy Murph's record, the great Troy Murph out there in Justin, Texas. Just finished a great singer-songwriter EP, you know, 5 or 6 songs over at the Uptown Studio. Had all of Phil Hamilton's band playing on it. Just a great time over there. So that's look for that coming out. Maybe we'll play a few tracks off Troy's record, man, on one of these podcasts coming up. Came out really good. So it's all out there for you, folks. Record with us. Book the band. Hire me to you know, come do music on your film. We just do it all, man. We love it. Well, folks, Max Stalling next week. Stay tuned for that. And be good to each other out there. We'll see you next time. Much tougher.
Why should I care?